Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being with us on this conference call, the last conference call of the year. I also want to thank all of you that have been so generous in supporting the ministry in the last just couple weeks. And it has been amazing, and I thank you for that. It has been an encouragement and a blessing, and I sure do appreciate it. We're still in a matching gift situation. We're not quite there. Probably, though, I'm thinking tomorrow for sure we'll reach, but I'm going to make sure that every gift I have information from the donor that would be okay. So, but up to a certain day, and I'm trying to lock that down. But I think by Monday for sure we will have reached it. So I'm trying to estimate, which I can't do, but we've got to count everything that's going to come in by mail too. That is counting on that. So anyway, thank you. You have been very generous, and I pray that you will continue that the Lord would continue to nudge you to give to this work and this ministry. It is a blessing to me, and I hope that all of our work has been a blessing to you. We are doing so many things, and we're really excited about. I don't talk about them because I like to get them a little bit closer to finish, but we're really excited about what we have happening. So thank you for that. Also, your partnership. There are a lot of new partners this month. So some of you, this is your first conference call. So welcome. Well, this is the last conference call of the year, and I have to tell you, it's the most difficult last conference call of the year that I've ever had to deal with, even more so, more difficult than December 2016 after President Trump had won the election. That was fairly easy. I was pretty free to rely upon some technicals and charts and all of my points that I look at, along with my behavioral side of economics. And that was probably the easiest December. This certainly is the hardest. As I start to think about my, I guess I'm going to do 11 for 21. I've been messing with that too, but we'll do, I don't want to do 1 for 21. So we'll do 11, unless I run into a brick wall and it gets too difficult to do. As you know, I do that pick at the end of the year, going into the new year, of stocks that if you don't own, some of you will own, some of them, are things that you need to add to your portfolio just as a fundamental, foundational part of your portfolio. These are going to be stocks that I feel very optimistic about for one reason or another. But again, that's become more and more difficult. Excuse me. I was concerned yesterday when I listened to the Federal Reserve and all that he said. I listened to it this morning, and I don't necessarily disagree with what they are planning on doing. But I got to tell you, I do disagree with their prediction about the outcome of what they're doing. And I made that clear today. I talked a little bit about it, but let me just reiterate. This is a very different time than it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Very, very different. And we are headed into the direct opposite if a Biden administration were going to come to pass. Somebody called me today on the program and said, we've got to tell people that they've got to continue every day to call every one of their representatives and say, you've got to declare this vote invalid. And I agree with that. We need to do that. And it's not something I have championed, but I need to. So we have to be doing that. We have to be calling every one of our representatives every day, leaving a message on their voicemail, sending them an email, sending them a fax, do something to remind them of how important it is that we can take confidence in our election once again. If we lose this and we lose Georgia, needless to say, we are in very big trouble. I can tell you we will not recognize America in 3 years. We won't recognize it. It'll be a totally different country. It's going to look much more like a dysfunctional Norway or Denmark than it looks like an America. It's not going to be a functioning Norway or Denmark. It's going to be a dysfunctional Norway or Denmark because of the way our political structure is handled. So once they manage to change fundamentally America and all that America stands for, they will begin to work on the dysfunction in the politics, making the politics line up and look more like the parliamentary system that they have in Norway or Denmark. That too is not going to work. So we may be at a place where we are going to have to take it with a great deal of confidence that we are getting closer and closer to God's plan and God's design for the beginning of the end. Doesn't mean we hunker down and get in fetal position and pray. What it means is we've got to continue to fight, keep standing for the values and the beliefs that we have about the nature of God and what God would want us to be about. So this is going to be a time when it's going to be difficult to come up with a strategy that is going to be ideal for us. And I don't believe I'm going to come up with that in the month of January. I don't even know that I will come up with that in the month of June. But I am certainly going to be shooting for that, and I'm going to be shooting for the month of March. We may still not have the dust settled by then. I am going to put out my 11 for 21, but it's going to be interesting to see whether we should and what we should do with that. So I ask you to bear with us. It's going to be a very difficult time. I also want to add to you that it's probably, and I'm not saying this on the air because I feel like I'm trying to coerce people, but I can say it to our partners. This is probably going to be the most important time in the history of this 25 years of this ministry that you partner with the ministry. So if you're a new partner, you picked a good time to do it. If you're an old partner, you picked a good time to renew and stay engaged. So it is going to be a difficult year, and it's going to be a year of change. And what I mean by that is change in some directions that may seem a bit frustrating. But I ask you to bear with me and understand that I've got your best interests at heart. And we, in order for us to be successful, somewhat successful, in navigating the next couple of years, we are going to have to be nimble. We're going to have to be able to move quickly and precisely, or we won't be able to be successful. So we have to keep that in mind when we start to see some changes that I'm making. I cannot rest on my strategy that I come up with sometime very early this year, where I say this is the direction we are going. I cannot take the attitude that, hey, I'm not changing it. If I change it, I'm going to look bad. If I change it, they're going to think, well, I don't know. Does he know what he's doing? He keeps changing that. I can't think about that, and I can't worry about it, and I can't rest about, oh, no, I'm not changing it, because that's what I said, and I'm going to keep saying it until it happens, or I'm going to keep predicting it. Eventually, I'll be right. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue to move as the environment and around us from a market and economic perspective change. And it means that we've got to be willing and a little bit more nimble than we might like to be. So that is one thing that we are going to have to keep into consideration as we move forward. I also want to mention that the site is changing. That's going to be good for you. The changes are minor, but they're going to be important changes that I know will be beneficial to you as you try to work through and manage certain things. I want to mention that I am going to have another sell list. I'm going to have another replacement list. And I'm going to be adding new stocks on the broad list and taking some old stocks off. So all of those things are going to happen, and we'll see which ones enter and make the buy list. If you're a long-term investor, you're going to be fine no matter what you do, because we are going to maintain good, solid positions on our buy list. If you are an income investor, it's going to become a little bit more difficult for you, because we will be overweighted and have too much in one area. We will be. There's no doubt about it. And the dividend, high dividend or good dividend producing stocks, preferred stocks, stocks that traditionally pay dividends are going to be gone. Preferred stocks are getting harder and harder to come by. And bonds are going to be impossible to use. But my most important point that I want to make in this conference call, and I'll make it as quick as I can, and then we'll just end it. But one of the most important things is that the scammers, the con artists, the get-rich-quick schemers, the gold and silver salesmen, the limited partnership salesmen, the investment salesmen that are selling the investment that nobody has ever seen before, and I guarantee you this is going to be the greatest thing you got to get in, are going to be coming out of the woodwork. This is a prime time for those kinds of things. Gold and silver salesmen are going to be at a frenzy pace. They are going to be aggressive. If they have your phone number, I feel bad for you, because they will be like predators stalking you. I would caution you and warn you that if you are buying a little bit of gold, to add to your portfolio as a point of diversification in adding speculative commodities, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. Knock yourself out. If you are looking to buy something that is going to change what you do and how you do it, then that too is going to be a big, big problem. So we are going to move forward, and I'm going to ask you that you set aside the conspiracy theories, the reset theories, which aren't new, by the way. There's at least 40 years old. They just keep bringing them up when the same circumstances arises. People are asking me about the devaluation of the dollar. The dollar has devaluated many, many times. Speaking of devaluation of dollar, one of the greatest tools of gold salesmen is to talk about the value of gold compared to the dollar. It is one of the more ridiculous things that you'll see, because they'll talk about, well, 40 years ago, you could buy a suit for gold. 40 years later, you can still buy a suit for the same amount of gold. Gold is the only thing that has kept pace with the inflation. 40 years ago, you bought a suit with dollars for $60. I'm making up numbers. I don't have a clue about any of this. But today, it costs you $400. They never talk about the value of the dollar going up. It is a ridiculous argument, because 50 years ago, 40 years ago, you were making, 50 years ago, you were making $120 a month. This year, you're making $4,000 a month and doing the same thing. To say that there is a difference is lunacy. There's not a difference in the valuation of the dollar. There has been a difference in the changes of lifestyle and how we use our dollars. There's been a difference in that you were paid $120 a month and now you make $4,000 a month. Inflation and purchasing power has gone up exactly accordingly and consistently as purchasing power has ever gone up. The devaluation of dollar has not been the reason why you pay $400 for the suit you used to pay $60 for. That's not the case at all. It's not the dollar that is responsible for keeping up with inflation. It is the overall economy that is going to be responsible with keeping up with inflation. It is going to be the workforce. It is going to be the employers. It is going to be the cost of goods and services from the employers that you work for. To buy into that argument is ridiculous. So let's remember that the last 3 years, the valuation of the dollar has outperformed gold, for instance, in dramatic fashion. Is it going down now? It's going down now because we're making a shift from a capitalist pro-growth government to a socialist government-owned government economy. Big, big difference. Everything is going to change. And we need to keep that in mind. going back to my Federal Reserve comments that I am concerned about this year, is the Federal Reserve says they're going to continue to buy billions of dollars of bonds every single month for as long as it's necessary. Well, the Federal Reserve, I hate to tell them, but it's going to be necessary forever until there's another Donald Trump kind of presidency, which we're never, ever going to see again. So if I am right about that, and we're never going to see that again because of the corruption of the voting booth, then if that's the case, and we aren't going to see that again, then we got a whole new set of problems, because we are going to just wallow in an economy where 60 to 70% of the people are going to be dependent upon the government for their existence, me included, you included. We will be waiting for a check every month to see if we can buy a little bread, a little bit of food to keep us going until we get our next check. We will be downsizing to nothing so that we can have an electric bill that we can pay. We're all going to be in the same boat. We cannot exist on the Federal Reserve buying up our debt when nobody else is buying up our debt and doing nothing about the devaluation of the dollar without any growth in the economy. The only thing that's going to save us from that is strong growth in the economy. And we do not, if we have a Biden administration, we will not have a pro-growth, pro-business, pro-American worker environment. That is going to be gone forever. Why? Because it doesn't suit the agenda of the left. So, how do we plan for that? You can hoard cash. You can never invest. You can wait for CD rates to go to 7 or 8%, and you can buy CDs. We will not exist today on no growth economy like we did in 2010 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. We're not going to do that. Back then, we had $19 trillion in debt. By the time we get rolling here, we're going to have 30-some trillion dollars worth of debt and growing at a very rapid pace. It's not the $30 trillion worth of debt. It's the extra 20 or 15 trillion that we have printed that we have to pay interest on as we try to float that debt. And we can't pay the interest because interest rates are going to be up dramatically because we have no growth in the economy. We now are going to get to a place where we not only have no growth, but we have no employment. If we have no employment, we have no payroll tax. If we have no payroll tax, the government has to come up with a way to tax everything else that we buy. Now we are looking at hyperinflation because now we've got the government that is taxing every hamburger we buy and every tire we buy to the rate in which is going to drive it to unreasonable pricing. We will begin to be developing, probably I won't live to see it, I hope, but we will start to develop a two-class system. We will have the poor and the very wealthy. We will have the poor civilians and the fat politicians. That's the way it's going to be. That's what we could be headed for. Can we stop it? We could, but that's the wrong question. The question is, will we stop it? Not can we stop it? Will we exercise our rights and freedom? Will we do what is necessary to stop it? No, we will likely won't. We will quicker get to the rollover where we are rolling over and accepting it before we try to stop it. The left has done a great job in dividing the country. They haven't conquered it yet, but they've completed the first step. There is great, great division in America. Now, I think the only thing that is really going to bring that division to an end, unfortunately, is going to be a war. It's going to be a war against America, that the American people will rise up in unity together. And that will go back to reuniting us. It doesn't matter, because somebody said this to me yesterday, it doesn't matter that there's going to be unity, because everybody's going to be thinking in 2 years, my word, what have we done? It's too late for the unity there, because the elections are fixed and they're going to be fixed again. And we're never going to have another fair election. So the unity that we might have then, it's going to be too little too late. How do I come up with a way to invest in that environment? It's very difficult. Are there certain things that are going to go up? Yes. I got to find them. Are there certain things that are going to be safe? A few, but not many. We got to find them. Do we bury our talents in the sand and not do anything? I don't know. We're not called to do that. God doesn't call us to do that, but we could try. But I don't think that's going to help us, because if we get into a hyperinflation area, our purchasing power is going to erode away to nothing. So part of my strategy is going to be, we've got to get in the mindset and the mentality of beating inflation at the end of the year with our returns. Not making 50%, beating inflation. If inflation is 6%, making 7%. Now, here's the problem. Years ago, I would have said beating inflation and beating taxes should be our only primary goal. But with the kind of government that we may have, beating taxes may be impossible. We need to understand that everything that moves is going to be taxed. We will one day, in 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're going to look back and we're going to start adding up our sales receipts. And we're going to look at all the money that we paid in tax. And then we will no longer wonder why we don't have any money. Because like it or hate it, the progressive movement is not going to pay for itself. The progressive movement is only going to succeed by taxing everything and everybody to the maximum amount that they can bear. So having said all that, yes, I am going to desperately try to come up with a plan. You have to be willing to move quickly. Now, let me tell you this, and I don't want to offend the financial advisors that are on this call. But your financial advisor, well, let me ask you this. If for those of you who have had financial advisors, have they ever moved quickly for you? Have they ever been ahead of the curve? Some of you might have had a few, but have they ever? And I suspect the majority of you are saying no. It's always been after the fact. This is not going to be any different. No fault of theirs. But they're not doing the economics. They're not evaluating the macro or the microeconomics of the globe. They're not looking at those things and then knowing what they're looking at are going to base a prediction or an assumption of the way things are going to go. They're not doing that. It's not what they do. They don't want to do that. Your job is to sell and to try to help people with their investments. But they have a corporate environment that tells them what they should or shouldn't do as far as the economic or the economics of the economy go. But it's a very biased viewpoint because their goal is to sell investment. So a big part of what might have to happen, and that is, you know, their job is to buy investments, might have to be to sell investment. They're not going there. They may have a strategy of rearranging your investments because that they can profit by. So they're not going to be ahead of the curve. I'm going to be trying to get ahead of the curve. And the only way you can do that is you've got to be free to move. I'm going to say some things in the next 3 months that people are saying, I'm not doing that. Okay, that's okay, that's fine. I got an email today or something on social media about Occidental. Well, what can I say about it? I said sell it and move it into this. Some people did it and have benefited. Some didn't do it. And they still have it and they're still asking me about it. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer them. I don't have an answer. My answer is you should have paid attention. Or you paid attention, you saw it, and you didn't do it for one reason or another. Well, I couldn't. Occidental is my favorite company. Oh. My father works for Occidental. Okay. So that's why I didn't do it. Well, yeah, I'm kind of attached to it. Okay, that's fine. But you can't complain about that if you're emotionally attached to something and couldn't react on an alert. Look, the best piece of advice I'm going to leave you with at the end of this year is stay the course. We have good, solid positions. You all have very good cash positions. Very good cash positions. Staying the course with what you have invested and a good, strong cash position is going to benefit you a great deal. You will be getting very specific direction from me early on in the year. Pay attention, listen, and take heed. And that is my advice as we head to the end of the year. Here's another piece. Your greatest asset is going to be getting out of debt. If you've ignored it, if you're not doing it because you're obsessed with investing, I would strongly suggest that you work on it. Far more important than maybe anything you could imagine. People are asking me now about taking profit. I leave that to you. Okay? Just take it. If you want to, you can never go wrong by taking it. I don't think you can go wrong by leaving it in your account either. If you're a long-term investor, I would say, oh, that's nice, and move on. I don't know that I want you to sell that any more than I want you to sell a stock that's down 30%. It's going to be about staying the course. We know that God is in control. We know that God is our great provider. We know that God loves his children and has promised to be faithful to us. We know that he has not promised us wealth, but has promised us provision, and he will do that. But will we trust that? We are afraid to give our tithes to church because we might need it. That may be your greatest mistake in 2021. Your giving can't change. Your tithing can't change. Your reverence for the Lord can't change. God has left us to the dominion of this world, and this is what we have. There's little we can do about it until we get in glory, and then at least we can track down Adam and give him a good slap across the face and ask him what he was thinking. It's the world in which we live. God can stop all of it, and he can allow all of it. And he will someday stop it all in his return. Some of you on this call are going to witness that return, maybe all of us. We are close. And maybe God was showing us, I gave you the president for a time such as this. And he may not be saying that to us because we don't care. We're going to be in glory soon. But he is saying that to all the non-believers, that maybe it might bring them to their knees. Steadfast, unwavering. First Corinthians 15:58 says, look, be steadfast, immovable, but listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't know what that looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me. In the midst of your steadfastness and your unwavering commitment, you got to be doing the Lord's will and the Lord's work. Sometimes you're doing that by tithing to your church. You can't stop. You have to continue that. This is the time when we need to contribute to the very things that we need more than ever. And I can't think of a time when we needed the church more than we need it right now. So we need to be mindful of all of that as well. I would just ask all of you to be thankful and mindful of your portfolio. Don't get discouraged and don't get worried about it. Don't be looking at it and checking it. Just believe in it and leave it alone. You're all long-term investors. And if you were a long-term investor and you're not anymore because you've aged out of that long-term investing, it's time to divest, not invest. It's time for you to start preservation of principle. If that's you, do it. You're no longer a long-term investor. So don't expect to get the same results as a long-term investor because that isn't you. So we have to come to those decisions quickly. And I am asking you as partners today, more than ever, please pay attention and read the alerts. It doesn't matter how busy you are. Take the time. It's going to take you 3 minutes to read it. And then act on it. While you're trying to do your own analysis and figure out why you should act on it, it's going to be too late. While you're trying to think about your own emotions and what you want to do from an emotional perspective with that position or that thing that's written in that alert, it's too late. It's too late. So let's 2021 not be a year that I continue to get the emails and the calls as, well, I didn't see it or I didn't pay attention. Now I'm not so sure what to do. I don't have an answer for you. All you hear me doing on the air is stammering because I don't know what to say, because I'm not trying to say something like, hey, nothing I can say. You didn't pay attention. Now here's the consequence. I'm avoiding saying that. Pay attention and stick to it. Your main goal needs to be praying that God might find me worthy to bless me with a tiny bit of wisdom, because that's what all I have right now to depend on, based on these unprecedented circumstances that we're seeing in our economy and in the environment in which we live from an economic perspective. I'm never going to see this again. You're never going to see this again. I don't care if you're 20. You're never going to see this again. You heard Twyla today. We could be wearing masks to the end of 2021. So stay the course. Listen for alerts. I will have another conference call in January. Obviously, I haven't picked the date yet. Probably do it more towards the middle of the month, maybe the end of the month, when I have something to report. Look for my 11 for 21. I'll be putting that out. And it's up to you. Don't compromise your cash position. If you've got a lot of profit and you want to take something and sell out and buy in to one of these other positions, that's fine. This is not the year to just buy them without giving any consideration to how it fits into your asset allocation model. I will tell you, and I don't mean to say this as for any other reason, but just giving you the truth. The people that are prime partners are going to do better in the next 2 years than the people that aren't. That's a ridiculous statement, somewhat of a bold statement. It's just true. Because I think about 80% of our prime partners, when they became a prime partner, said, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I was just out of whack. That's why I say it. Keep doing it on your spreadsheet. Keep doing it on your notes, however you're keeping track of your asset allocation model. But that's a critical piece of this. And it's more critical today than it's ever been. There are some stocks that I'll be putting out, I believe, as part of my 11 for 11. This is why I'm a little anxious, because I'm probably going to put it out a little sooner to try to keep with tradition than I would like to put it out. But there are some stocks that are going to do well during a Biden administration. Smith & Wesson, Ruger, they're going to do pretty good. So I'm just using those two examples to just give you an idea. Financial stocks, which we don't own. We don't own banks. But they'll probably do pretty well next year. The Federal Reserve said they're going to be pushing $125 billion into these banks for lending. That's a pretty good deal at a very low interest rate. So that's what we can expect in 2021. There's not going to be change in the, there's not going to be a lot of changes in the Ministry of Financial Issues, but there's going to be a lot of changes in the Ministry of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, FISMTV, and all the things that we are doing. That is going to continue to grow. The Lord is opening up way too many doors. I don't know what his plan is, but he's got one, and it's a big one. But we will continue to deal with all of that. My chief and main concern will be, as it is right now, and that's you. I care deeply about our partners. Our partners are the lifeblood of this ministry, but that's not Why? It's because I set out to do something, and that was to help God's people do what is right with God's money. And that is going to be my goal. My biggest concern, 2021, it's going to get harder and harder to be biblically responsible. We are going to get fewer and fewer options. Frankly, I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to start to get fewer and fewer options. A record amount of money has been pouring into socially conscious funds. Keep in mind, they are not biblically responsible. They're socially conscious, so they say. So the tree huggers, the oil-hating people will be pouring into socially conscious funds. Remember, to that mentality and to the left, it is socially conscious to support abortion. Do you think that's going to be biblically responsible? I don't think so. But it will be to the socially conscious fund. So keep that in mind. As you see the frenzy people, the frenzy pace that people are going to be making trying to be politically correct, so they can get the praises of men. I will take the praises of the Lord, thank you, and I hope you will too. All right, I hope you have a great day. I thank you for your support. I thank you for the work that you're doing. Listen, tell your friends, tell your family about financial issues. Tell everybody that you meet every day. You know, I got so many emails about being on the Huckabee Show. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing it more? You need to be, why isn't he in allow, you know, he needs to allow you to say this or say that or speak up or blah, 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 blah. I got so many different, I got every opinion in the world. You're telling the wrong person. Tell the other people. Tell the local Christian television network. Why aren't you airing our programming, financial issues programming? Why aren't you airing that? They're the kinds of things that go a long way to help grow the kingdom and build the kingdom. Not the kingdom of financial issues, the kingdom of Christ. We are saving babies. We're feeding the hungry. We're taking care of the widows, the orphans. God has allowed us to partner with those kinds of ministries that are doing those kinds of things. And we are so grateful. We are not going to waver from that. We are not going to stop doing that. And we want you to be a part of that. So many of you have clicked that smile button that we sent on the alert. Thank you. That is going to be a blessing. I suspect at least 1%. I know that sounds terrible, but we'll see. I won't know, of course, until the end of first quarter next year if that looks like it's increased any. But I sure hope it has. And I thank you for your positive response to it. We have, and I say this all the time, as evidence of our program today, we have without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the greatest listeners in the country. The greatest listeners in the country that have a heart for God, a heart for the work of God, and the convictions to honor God. And it doesn't get any better than that. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I thank you. And all of us at Financial Issues are so grateful. We pray that you have a very blessed Christmas, that you can set aside the turmoil of the day and focus on a God who sent his son to be in the manger so that he would die and suffer for us, so that we would be redeemed and in the righteousness of God and glory. What a great, great time of year this is. And I just hope that all of you have a prayerful, great time of worship this Christmas season. And I thank you for all that you do for financial issues. I covet your prayers. I appreciate your prayers against the attacks that we have had, that we have been under. Your prayers that God might find me worthy to be as a son of Issachar. And that wisdom would be disseminated through me to all of you for the good of the kingdom. Have a great day. God bless. I hope I see some of you tomorrow morning or here on our Bible study. You can just go to the resource tab on the website if you want the phone number. But I hope you can join us for our Bible study tomorrow morning. Have a Merry Christmas. God bless you, and thank you for all that you do for us. We'll see you tomorrow.